You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg Podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
And I think I've been fair in minimizing my criticism of Julius Randle for this postseason.
Julius is still young. He's just going into his prime right now. So we're looking forward to what's coming next.
I can't do it anymore. I can't. 2 years ago, when they played Atlanta in that series, and he was awful, it was, well, he has no help, and there's nothing that he can do. Okay, fine. We let him get away with that. This postseason, he's third-team All-NBA. He has to give me more. And you can't say he didn't have help because Jalen Brunson was all-world in the series.
Got to evaluate, move forward, and see what you can do to, as an individual, help the team move forward.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Everybody hurts.
Yep, that's how we feel this morning. Pained and hurtful. This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. 1-800-919-3776. So overall, great season, right? You would agree? Phenomenal season. Brunson was awesome. Randle regular season was great. You know, five seed where most people thought they wouldn't be a top six seed, beat Cleveland where they were the underdog. But the end hurts, and the end hurts because you really look like you were the inferior team, and the players that you were counting on to produce for you, Rick, didn't produce for you at all.
No. And you know what's crazy is I watched the game live on Friday, and then I rewatched it yesterday.
How and why would you do that?
Oh, I wanted to freshen up because it was Friday. We have the show today, so I wanted to freshen up. And I was more aggravated watching it yesterday, which I didn't think was possible, but it was. Like, I almost had – now, there were a bunch of different plays, but the double lane violation was like – I was like, oh, my God, what's happening?
Well, what I don't understand on that, not that that was a play that really, you know – had a huge
impact.
No,
just it was like it was one of the things that aggravated me watching it a second time.
Oh, totally agree. But in watching that, you just watched it again yesterday, it felt to me like Miami went in the lane first, and then I think it was Hartenstein also went in the lane after. But I don't know.
On a made free throw. Yeah, right. Like, so shouldn't you decide like who went in first as the violation?
That's what I would think.
Right. But no, it's he makes the free throw, they don't count it, and then Miami wins the jump ball.
Which seems like they won just about every jump ball.
Right, so to your point, yes, that is the most frustrating part about Game 6, is that it took an amazing 48-minute effort from Jalen Brunson to get you to Game 6, and then in a winnable game. I mean, you're down 92-90, the ball in Jalen Brunson's hands with a chance to, at the very least, tie it up and get it into overtime. Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett were passengers. They were along for the ride, and, I mean, 4-24 from your second and third best players is
not good enough.
Get the job done. No,
nope.
It's not even close to good enough.
Not good enough. And I think that's why so many people are so upset today. And this is on the heels of having the entire weekend to kind of digest it and deal with it and understand it, is that it's hard to look at this thing and say, we had a guy that was all world, and we still couldn't get over the hump of a Miami team.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even that. I mean, I think it's originally how we looked at the series. I think that was mistake number one, was because they were an eighth seed. We had home court. It's a much better matchup than Milwaukee.
And I stand by it. It was a much better matchup than Milwaukee.
Of course. Of course it was. I mean, you'd be crazy to say otherwise. But I think we might have undersold how good Miami actually was.
I think so. I think you're right.
Right. So, I mean, we got our expectations really high, and then they end up winning game one. We fought like crazy to win game two. And then, you know, you get down to Miami games three. Game three was disgusting. Lose games three and four, and then found a way to get into a game six. And I think we all thought if you found a way to win game six, like, I mean, there's so much pressure on Miami not to want to come back to the Garden, and who knows what the hell happens in game seven. And for Jaylen to play as well as he did and to only be down 2 points and not have, most importantly, I think, because for the most part, R.J. Barrett, outside those first two games against Cleveland, had a good playoffs. Everyone thinks he had a good playoffs, which he did. The fact that Julius Randle was a no-show in this game is, I think, is the crux of most yes. Knicks' real problem.
And I think that's why people are... If Randle went off and Brunson was what he was and R.J. Barrett played well enough, I think you'd tip your cap and say, you know what, they were just better and there's nothing that you really could have done. But to have that level of performance from a guy that many people look at as a star player leaves a sour taste in your mouth.
Well, he's an All-NBA player. I mean, twice in the last 3 years, he's been All-NBA, second and
third. Not in the postseason, he's not.
No, right. So, I mean, but to say like that, yes, he is considered, I mean, he's been an All-Star twice. So, by definition, he's a star. I don't care how you feel about him, but by definition, he is an All-Star player.
Yes. By definition, he's an All-Star player, and that All-Star player was not good in this series.
No, and Brunson had four games where he scored 30-plus. So, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a completely different feeling on Saturday, Sunday, and today if Jaylen just has a good game and Julius goes off. Julius has an amazing game and you still lose. I think there's a different feeling.
Yeah, I think you tip your cap and you say they got us. Good for them.
But the fact that Julius struggled and he struggled most of the playoffs and fans already don't like him leaves a real sour taste and has a lot of people trying to figure out how the hell to get rid of him.
Yep, I think that's a very fair point. Jaylen Brunson, after game six, do you see this loss as a failure?
Yeah, it can go either way. It just depends on how you view it. I think for me, things this season, we obviously want to continue to keep playing and have the opportunity to it a little bit. It's definitely a learning experience, but don't win, you lose.
I don't look at this as a failure. Do you?
Absolutely not. I think what I look at it is as I think you have some flaws. And I think when you play a team that's as well coached and as good defensively as Miami, those flaws are going to be exposed.
And they were
exposed. I mean, that's why a lot of this stuff too, like even like the conversations we have about the Yankees, right? Like, why do the Yankees struggle to hit in the postseason? Well, because they're facing now you're facing the best of the best, right? This is not, I mean, you're not taking advantage of bad teams or, you know, fourth and fifth starters. You're getting great teams and their best. Like, you got one of the better defensive teams locked in for six games.
Correct. See, it's not, and I want to like dumb it down as best I can. It's not the loss that horrifies me. It's the way you got to the loss that horrifies me.
Right. And this is exactly why when we start doing, I mean, you ask me questions and I ask you questions and we go back and forth about what's a successful season, what's not, how many wins, how many losses, is I'll always say to you, it's tough to say now because it depends a lot on how it looks. And it looked crappy in game six.
Julius Randle, how did you feel about your postseason performance?
Same thing as the season. You know, some good moments, some moments to learn from. Just got to evaluate, move forward, and see what you can do to, as an individual, help the team move forward.
I don't know what he's supposed to say, but I don't like that answer.
Well, would you rather him say that?
I don't know.
My ankle's killing me and I stunk?
Same thing. You know what? I stunk. Same thing as the season. You're a third team All-NBA. There was nothing that was similar to the season.
Yeah, I don't know why he worded it the way he worded it. I think he was just trying to say that there was some good, there was some bad. I don't think he really wanted to. It seemed like he was hesitant to really put a lot on his plate because he already knew that he was going to get most of the blame anyway.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You correct me. I mean, you played.
It's not going to help. No.
If he goes out there and says, man, you know what? I sucked.
Doesn't matter. I was always told, actually, I forget who told me that. It was some writer that told me that. Like, it's good to take some of the blame, but only to a point. And I think he's past that point where all the blame, like, he's not getting the benefit of the doubt anyway.
No, But your regular season was terrific. You're third team All NBA.
It doesn't matter though. He already knows that though. But that doesn't. It clearly doesn't matter because he still aggravates people. It doesn't matter what kind of regular season he has. There are people that just don't like Julius Randle.
That's right.
So I mean, there's no winning for him. He takes all the blame. Doesn't take any of the blame. He's still going to get all the blame. It doesn't matter. It's not going to make people feel better about it if he blames himself. They're still going to rip his poster down and all that other garbage.
Knicks fans are. It feels like they're kind of done with Julius Randle, doesn't it?
I would say yeah. All the phone calls we've taken today. I mean, we've had a couple people that defended him, but most of the calls have been...
most are anti Randle. Let's go to Dan in Jersey. Dan, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Shout out to the company. How are you guys doing on this somber Monday morning?
Oh, we're okay. You know what? I'm glad that it was a Friday night game, and at least I had a couple days to recover. So it's not as bad for me.
I agree. I have to say, it's a tough loss. One of the things I want to point to before I go into my Randle point is Tom Thibodeau should have never taken Jalen Brunson out of that game in the second quarter. He had played 48 minutes the game before. He needed to play the 48 minutes again. When he was off the floor, Miami went on that huge run, and that could have been the difference in the game.
Dan, you got to remember, too, he got early fouls, though, too, buddy.
That's true. That's very true.
Of course it's true.
Well, why was Randle off the court?
Right. That's the problem. Well, here's the other thing, though. You're trusting R.J. Barrett. I mean, he's also one of your better players, right? Like, you try to make something work. They went into the 3-2. He couldn't figure it out. Here's a criticism of Tibbs, and you know how much I love Tibbs. Here's a criticism, though. When things aren't working, okay, you got to be willing to try stuff. And you can't be hell-bent on, these are the guys I trust, and then forget everybody else. Like, if you're going to put Deuce McBride in the game, Deuce McBride is a guy who can handle the basketball. Let him do, like, you got to trust that he's going to do what his talent is supposed to allow him to do. Like, if Deuce comes in the game, he's not even touching the basketball.
No. I don't even know what the point of putting him in the game
right,
was.
Right. So why have him out there? Like that's what the guy does. If you don't trust him to do it, then don't put him on the floor. Instead, I got to watch, watch them try to figure out the zone like it's something they've never seen in their entire lives.
And you saw it all series long.
Right. So Miami goes on an 8-0 run, and they got to bring Jalen back in. It's just, you don't want to overreact. I mean, that's my biggest piece of advice, is you don't want to just, because of how it looked in Game 6, you don't want to just overreact and start just making moves to make moves, which they won't do. I think that's what fans would like to do, but you
can't. No, I think if the best move is to keep Julius Randle and run it back, that's what you do. But I think most fans would prefer to find a real alternative to Julius Randle moving forward.
I think this is the best way to say it, okay? Is that I think it's clear to me, you, and everyone else that watches this team play, that Jalen Brunson is your best player, your most important player. And however you need to build around him is what you should do. Like, this isn't like, let's find pieces to build around Juliet. No. The best player on your team is Jalen Brunson.
And it's not even a question.
And now, what do we need to put around him to make us better? It's going to start with shooting, obviously. Mm-hmm. That needs to improve. And then you got to also figure out what the hell happened with IQ in the playoffs. Like, does the experience, is the experience what he needed? Quentin Grimes wasn't the same player in the postseason that he was in the regular season. Mitchell Robinson wasn't the same player in this series as he was in the first series. That's the thing, man. That's the beauty of the playoffs.
It's a different animal.
Well, but it's not. It's just series to series. It's different matchups. Like, there are certain teams that just can expose you. Like, I think, like, look at how good. I hate to always go back to hockey, but it gives me a chance to talk about hockey. But look at how the Rangers looked against New Jersey. Like, New Jersey was the faster team. It felt like they wanted it more. And then all of a sudden, New Jersey plays against Carolina. You're like, well, what the hell just happened?
Yep. Very different, right?
Like, Carolina exposed them. Give Miami credit, too, man. I mean, they played a good series. We had no real answer for Bam. Their coach is great. Those guys play hard. They're tough. They're physical. They beat the crap out of
Jalen.
I
could deal with it if it wasn't that our, quote, star player was lousy.
Well, not even that, though. It was both of them. And on
I know,
top of
but
that,
at least I got something along the way from R.J. Barrett. I don't feel like I got anything from Julius Randle.
Well, yeah, dude, the fact, and you said it as the show started, the stat that sticks out and slaps you right across the face is that Jalen made 14 shots and the rest of the team made 13.
I've never seen that before.
Right. That's not, I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about something we've really never seen before. Let's go to one or two calls, and then Raymond has been very good today. We'll run point on stuff you missed. Let's go to James in New York. James, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. Rick, big fan, brother, big fan. I just want to talk about Julius Randle. Everybody's calling about Julius Randle and his problems that he should stay. It's the fundamentals of basketball, guys. Like, if you're the big man and you bring up the ball and you make a bad decision, you can't dribble the way you want to dribble, you're not going to get a good result in that end of the floor. You're just not. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't dribble the way you would think he should dribble bringing the ball up. So don't bring the ball up. It's very simple, to be honest with you.
Yeah, listen, I mean, there's one guy you feel comfortable with the ball in his hands, and that's Jalen Brunson. And, you know, I think part of the problem in this series and why the offense didn't look great was because Spo recognized that if they put a ton of pressure on Jalen up the floor, is that by the time they actually got into their offense, it would be later in the shot clock, and they'd go some ISO, 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 and then when the ball moved, there was no time left in the shot clock. Or if Julius got the ball, he didn't have time, and he did one of those, you know, step back, turn around, fade away, tough shots that he wasn't making. It didn't look good.
That's all it ever is.
Yeah, but you're also talking about, I think they were the fourth best offensive rating during the regular season.
Well, that was not what you saw in the postseason. I mean, offense was a struggle to the nth degree in that series.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can understand. Like, I could, when you watch the amount of attention, well, I mean, first of all, Jalen was getting doubled every time he had the ball, and just the level of difficulty for what he was able to do in Game 6, give him tons of credit. But I can understand the temptation because of how much attention Julius draws. It's just you got to make the right plays. Like, you're going to always draw the double. Someone's going to be open. Just got to make sure, you got to trust the guy's going to make the right play.
But he waits forever. It's you know what it is? He's a maddening player at times. Merv in Queens. Merv, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, fellas, man? I woke up today. I should have been feeling like $1 million, but I'm depressed, man. Ricky, I've been messing with you. You are a big shot now since you used to fart in Mentos bottles. That's how far we go back. All right. But listen, man, you guys are being really, it's doing the right way sort of for the New York fans, in a sense of that we're not doing the Ben Simmons to him. We're protecting him in a sense. Thibodeau's not stupid. We need some value out of him so that we don't have to attach future first-rounders to him. And it's not so much, forget about numbers. If you're a true basketball player, you scrap, you high-five, you get your teammates involved, get a block shot. This guy's body language and his contagiousness and his selfishness, man, you guys are not touching that as much. And to be sensitive, I really, truly think there's some mental health. Something's going on. I've been watching basketball for 35 years. I've never seen a guy with worse body language and selfish and just doesn't vibe with the teammates. And I think towards them that the team felt his energy, and just he throws things off. And I got to go, but he's got to go. But I think the Knicks' future is in good shape, man. Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks for the call. His lack of production, you say his body language, I think more so his lack of production was crushing.
Yeah, I think it's lack of production. And then when you take that and you mix it with the body language and sometimes the lack of effort, I mean, it's a problem for people. I don't know. All we heard about this Knicks team the entire season was how much they love each other, right? So I don't know how the locker room dynamic is. I mean, you know, I told you at the time I hated what he did to IQ. IQ was trying to save him from himself, and then he pushed IQ.
Too.
I hated it.
Real bad look for him.
I just get the feeling like that he's one of those kind of guys that you really don't know what you're going to get, which
feels
can sometimes make a locker room uncomfortable.
And now if he's producing, I guess you can tolerate some of that. When he's not producing, it makes it much, much more difficult. All right, Raymond, floor is yours. Stuff you missed.
Now. See ya.
Bang! Touchdown! Rebound, score!
The sh** you missed.
Well, hello.
Hello.
So, Dave, you kind of touched on this at the end of the hour, but the Mets had, I guess you call it, an interesting weekend in our nation's capital.
No, it's a joke as well. It wasn't interesting. It was a joke.
Oh, I think that's probably a better word for it.
Yeah.
But so there was a four-hour rain delay. The teams played three innings for about 38 minutes on Saturday.
It wasn't even three innings, was it?
Wasn't even three innings.
It was two
correct.
And a third, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, well, the rains came, the infield caught some puddles, and fans sat getting drenched for 4 hours. And then this happened courtesy of SNY. Here's Gary Cohen reacting in real time.
And we just got this information that today's game has been suspended and will be part of a split doubleheader tomorrow, which is unprecedented to have the completion of a suspended game part of a split doubleheader. And what I'm assuming is that for the last half hour, that was the communication between the Nationals and the Mets and Major League Baseball to get permission to do this, which, as far as I'm concerned, has never been done before, that you're giving a piece of a game to the fans as part of a split doubleheader as opposed to playing straight through and making it a single admission.
And Gary decided to really let Major League Baseball have it here.
It's really a shameful episode on the part of Major League Baseball to permit this to happen and then to come to this kind of a resolution to charge fans twice tomorrow rather than playing straight through with the completion of suspended games.
Mother's Day.
Nothing he said is remotely incorrect.
No, he's 100% factually correct.
Well, they actually said, so I was watching a lot of the delay, believe it or not, just because I had it on the television. They didn't give the people that stayed there any updates as to what was going on.
No, it's embarrassing. Nothing. How do you do that? And by the way, did you see how many people were at the resumption of the game yesterday? Like, couple of thousand, maybe.
It was Mother's Day. They probably have better things to do.
Why can't Washington get it right?
I don't know. But you couldn't have said to those people, you know what? Because you sat here and you were poured on for 4 hours. You were screwed over, and now you can go on your way after wasting your entire day. You know what? On us. You come back to the pickup of game one, and now you'll stay through game two. What a joke.
The other Eastern Conference semifinal featured the Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers. That one came to an end in Game 7 yesterday after one of the worst shooting nights in his career in Game 6. Jason Tatum, historic Game 7, 51 points, the most in a Game 7 in NBA history. Celtics move on. They'll play Miami in the next round. Philadelphia, third year in a row that they lose in the conference finals. Doc Rivers, there's questions with Doc Rivers once again. Joel Embiid. Says why he and Harden can't do it by themselves.
It's going to take, you know, more than us. We all got to look at ourselves. I got to be better, and I will be better. That's what I'm focused on. All of us, we got to, you know, come back and find ways to just keep improving and, you know, help the team. You can't win alone. I can't win alone. I can't. Me and James, we just can't win alone. You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just, you know, trying to keep finding ways to get better, and, you know, we'll be fine.
What is he talking about?
Everyone's got to get better, Dave.
Tobias Harris went for 19. Maxey went for 17. Embiid, the MVP, was minus 28 and went for 15-8 on 5 of 18 shooting. And James Harden, in 40 minutes, went for 9 points and 5 turnovers on 3 for 11. What an embarrassment. It's got to be more than me. You're the MVP of the entire league.
That's right. Him and James Harden both had to be better in Game 7.
It's a joke.
They missed
what
their opportunity in Game 6.
Trust the process.
Yeah, once they lost Game 6, you couldn't have helped but feel it was over. They were competing, and then that third quarter happened. It was, oh my God. It was ridiculous what the Celtics were doing.
How do you look your teammates in the eye and say it's more than just me and James? You guys got to be better.
Well, he probably has to bend down because he's so tall.
He's very tall.
You know who didn't mind at all? Ben Simmons. He's watching from his couch, enjoying all of it. He decides to post a story on Instagram. No captions, but the message was clear. The score on the TV at the time, Celtics 108.
No, Ben Simmons doesn't even play.
Sixers 78. Ben Simmons, please.
They call, but Ben Simmons calls his couch the bench because, I mean, that's the guy never plays.
How's the back?
What a waste. What a waste indeed. And over in the hockey world, because Rick wanted to discuss some hockey, the East final was set already. The West final on its way to being set, and it could be two expansion teams. Jonathan Marchessault, natural hat trick in the second period sparks the Golden Knights to a 5-2 victory over the Oilers. Vegas is on its way to the Western Conference final. They await the winner of tonight's Game 7 between the Seattle Kraken and Dallas Stars. Actually, that's tonight, Game 7.
Game 7 tonight.
In Dallas.
It's going to be a good one. Going to be a good one.
Well, you imagine if there's two expansion teams in the conference final?
Yeah, it could.
We're right there.
Look at that.
Vegas is a good team.
And NHL must be thrilled, huh? Florida, Carolina.
Oh, TV-wise, no.
Yeah.
A lot of us, let's be honest, a lot of us stopped caring when the Rangers were eliminated.
That's very accurate.
Speak for yourself. I'm dialed into Carolina.
I am speaking for myself.
And me. You can speak for me.
You guys pay attention to Bryce Harper lately?
What happened with Bryce Harper?
Yeah, he tried to fight everybody.
He's back from Tommy John surgery.
Yes.
He came back May 2nd, but he got a little bit active yesterday. He was ejected from the Phillies 4-0 loss at Colorado after charging at the Rockies' dugout following the last out at the top half of the seventh, setting off an altercation that cleared both benches and both bullpens. He appeared to respond to Colorado reliever Jake Bird, who clapped a hand against his glove, said something to the Philly dugout, and Harper, he returned in kind by charging. And
Let's just let him fight.
Baseball players don't fight. Baseball players don't fight.
Let him square off and fight.
Would be fun, though.
Have some repercussions for being stupid.
That stuff you missed.
Wow. You want to clap at my dugout and talk trash? Come get some.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Can I tell you why my youngest child is elite? Elite.
Can I also just mention that the 3 minutes we spent during the break talking about football makes me feel alive?
It moved, right?
Oh, it's still, I mean, it hasn't stopped.
So, it's a perfect segue. So we're doing our many travels yesterday, and I forget at which leg of the travels this was, and Alex goes, do you want to look at week one of Survivor with me right now? And I was like, he's like a gift from heaven.
He's an animal.
So I was like, sure. So he starts pouring through the games of week one Survivor in May.
Does he have his team?
Yeah, Ravens, I think, play the Ravens are in a track. I forget who they play, but they're home against maybe the Texans, and then Vikings host a Tampa Bay.
I'll tell you what, though, even the bad teams or the teams that are supposed to be bad this season in the NFL, I'm still actually excited to watch.
Well, I feel like that every year, though.
No, I know, but I think it's why the NFL does such a great job.
There's never a game. First of all, you're not going to get bad teams, it doesn't look like, in these primetime slots.
No.
But even if there would be, you'd still want to watch it.
Yeah, because there's reasons to watch it. Like, I'm excited to see what some of these young quarterbacks look like.
Yeah, it's thrilling. We'll get there soon enough. Thursday, June 1, that's right around the corner. That's 2 weeks from Thursday. You can hang with us all day long. We'll start our day broadcasting live from Publicans in Manhasset, 6 to 10. Then the show goes on the road. Citi Field parking lot for a tailgate starting at 11, all leading into game at 1 o'clock against Philadelphia and Bryce Harper and those disgusting Phillies. Spend the day with us on Thursday, June 1, starting at Publicans in Manhasset, over to Citi Field for the D&R tailgate. We're headed to the game, and we're sitting in section 128, so get your tickets and hang with us all day long, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN. So we made mention of the debacle on Saturday. I mean, and that's all you can really say, that was a debacle. But that being said, frustrating, you know, close to game one yesterday, and then thank God Max Scherzer was as good as he was, and the Mets offense showed up, and they salvaged a split in that set yesterday.
Yeah, I think that was the most important part about game two, right, was how Max Scherzer was going to look.
He looked terrific.
And he looked good. Velocity was up. Fastball was good. And then the other positive, outside of obviously the win, was that, you know, some of the guys had it going. Like, Mark Canna had three hits. Marte had a couple hits, couple RBIs, had the stolen base that led to that bad throw where Beatty scored. 4-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Got Brooks Raley back, your guy. He's back.
He's good. I like him. I think he's a good piece to that bullpen.
I know you said you liked him, but he's back, which is good. And it looks like Carrasco will be back at some point here shortly. But for me, it was what Scherzer was going to look like. That's been the biggest.
That's the biggest thing, and he looked really good.
Yeah, and we're going to need him to be good. What I didn't like was that it's like, okay, I felt good enough not to be on the IL. I'm like, oh. All right, so this is what we're going to be doing now, is that we're just going to hold our breath after every start to make sure he doesn't end up on the IL.
It's going to be a tenuous situation. Listen, he's not young, and he's now suffered some issues with the neck or the scapula or the dead arm or whatever it is. And yeah, I think that's fair. I think every single time he makes an outing, you're going to have to hold your breath and say to yourself, what are we going to get from Max Scherzer? And then what is Max Scherzer going to be like after the start?
Yeah, which again, when he
pitches. It's no way to live, yeah.
No, it's no way to live. When he pitches well and he's fine, he says he's fine, awesome. But it's just like you're just waiting for the shoe to drop.
Right. And then especially when, like, today, you're coming back with Peterson, you really need Scherzer to pitch well like he did yesterday.
Yeah, pitch well, and you're also going to need someone to start giving you some length too, though.
And can you score? I mean, that first game, I don't know if you felt like this and how closely you watched it. Vogelbach comes up, bases loaded, one out, strikeout. It's like you can't. It's so hard. At least it was to score runs for this team.
That's the problem, though.
So frustrating.
That's the problem, though. When your team is not a team that has a lot of guys that can hit home runs, you're gonna have to go station to station. You're gonna have to guys get big hits in big spots with runners in scoring position. You're gonna have to be good. Like last season, with runners in scoring position, they had the fourth most hits and were tied for third. With the third best batting average with runners in scoring position. This year, they're 24th in average and 24th in hits. So if you're not a team that's going to hit a ton of home runs, I mean, that's, you're going to have to get on base and you're going to have to string hits together. And right now, I mean, their offense hasn't been doing it.
No, they have not. Thank God they did a little bit yesterday, though.
And Vientos and Mauricio continue to absolutely destroy AAA. Like to the point now we're in post games, we're giving updates.
Well, don't you want to know?
Yes, I think every Mets fan wants to know.
Yeah,
I think it would just gets you more and more frustrated.
Especially when you watch. I mean, what does Vogelbach bring to this team right now?
I think he's a good locker room guy.
You're guessing that, or you really believe that?
I'm guessing. I think the guys like him a lot.
Okay. You know what would be nice? What I would like a lot? Bring up a guy that can hit the baseball.
They can hit.
I mean, Vogelbach is a tremendous disappointment.
Maybe sprinkling some power.
And maybe be able to run the bases.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Very frustrating.
Hey,
but
you preach it to the choir, man.
I know, but they've won 2 out of 3, and now you hope that you can steal this game tonight. And I'd say steal it just because, I mean, you see what Peterson's ERA is?
It's terrible.
It's almost 8.
That's not what you want.
It's not what you wanted even a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because I know I'll keep saying this, but I mean, I watched that series, and who knows what's going to happen in this race series. I'm excited for it because I'm going to go to one of the games, but I watched the Yankees play in the series, and then I know, you know, what they're missing. And even though they lost yesterday, I mean, it was a hard-fought series, and I feel like the Yankees are going to be okay. They're going to be a playoff team. They'll be fine.
I agree with you.
And then I watched the Mets. And
you're not so sure, are you?
No, I'm not so sure. Because I don't know how it gets better. I mean, obviously guys have to play better. But there are some guys in the lineup that I just say to myself, I just don't know if they're capable of doing it. Like Mark Canha had a good day. He had three hits. Awesome. I don't know how good he is still. I don't think Daniel Vogelback's very good.
Vogelback is not good. I don't know if you feel. I think you do. I'm good. I've seen enough. I'm good. I'm ready to move on.
Okay, so you're done with him, and then the whole Scherzer thing scares the hell out of me. Like the conversation after the game, and he was good, and his velo was up, and all that great stuff. But the conversation after the game kind of made me, to say nervous is probably an understatement. But it's like, okay, feel good enough to make sure I'm not on the IL. Like, well, how good do you feel then? Is this what we're doing now? Like after every start, we're going to gauge whether or not you think your shoulder's bad enough that you need to be on the IL?
I think this is the world you live in now with Max Scherzer. It's every single start. A, what does he look like during the start? B, what is he going to feel like after the start? Yes, I think that's the world
you
live in.
That can't make you feel very good, though, because, again, I mean, last two seasons, he's broken down. He battled through something last year, and by the end of the season, he wasn't very good. The year before that, in L.A., he gets to the Dodgers. He is absolutely lights out. And he wore down, shoulder fatigue, the whole thing. So now already dealing with an injury that you're trying to battle through, haven't been good, was finally good yesterday, and it's like now, it feels like a ticking time bomb now.
Yes, welcome to being a Mets fan.
Ugh.
Yes, welcome to being a Mets fan. Let's go to Brian in Albany quick. Brian, good morning. You're on 98.7. Hello, Brian.
Can you hear me?
We can now. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. So I picked up something yesterday while watching the Mets game that I didn't realize before. So with the pitch comm, Scherzer actually is the one calling the pitches and where it's going, and the catcher is holding the pitcher's side of it. So essentially he's calling where the pitches are going and where he's going to throw it and basically telling the catcher to get ready.
Yeah, he's got the pitch comm on his glove. He's calling us. Yeah, he has the ability to call his game.
Yeah, I didn't realize that before. I can't think of another pitcher who does that.
Ohtani,
I mean, I know Cole
Ohtani
doesn't
does.
Do that.
Ohtani does.
Oh, he does. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Zach Greinke does. And there's a lot of guys that do it.
The veteran pitchers. And, I mean, I thought the Mets – I think it was good the Mets won considering that, like, they've been losing teams like Cincinnati lately. But outside of Nimmo and McNeil, no one's hitting. That's the biggest problem.
McNeil hasn't really hit the way he, I'm sure he
no,
expects
not,
to
he's
hit.
Not the same hitter he was performing like he was last
no,
year.
You got to get
but if you look the team. Him and Nimmo are like their best hitters right now.
But none of them are. And
no,
thanks
like
to the call,
the
Brian.
The guy who's got to get going, who's really important to this lineup, is Marte.
Marte's been quiet. Lindor is underwhelmed. Alonso has hit for power, but his average is now dipping down. I mean, it's time. McNeil, I mean, it's time. It's time for these guys to wake up, and it's not like you're going up against a great pitcher tonight. So find a way to score runs, win that game, come home, and let's right the ship.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump,
a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What do you possibly think Philadelphia Sports Radio is like today?
Philadelphia Sports Radio today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Like, we're frustrated, we're annoyed, we felt like maybe we underachieved, maybe our stars didn't show the way they should have shown, but overall, I think you have a pretty good feeling about what this season was. If you're a fan of the 76ers, how do you get up from that?
I don't know if you do. How much better does your chance get in Game 6 that you blew?
And think about what you had on, I get it, Miami is obviously tougher than any of us anticipated, but there's not really an easier conference finals than home court advantage against Miami, right?
No, it was your shot.
So that was your shot. And you know what? To win the whole thing, too.
Right, but again, how you feel about your team is also, predicated by what your expectations for your team were.
Totally. And they do this whole, winning 18, 20, 24 games year after year after year to get to a point where you can't even get yourself to a conference finals?
No, well, look at some of the picks they made during the process.
Yeah, Markelle Fultz.
Right, Ben Simmons.
Yeah, brutal.
That was the Tatum draft, right?
I don't remember.
I think it was.
But Tatum went third. But you took Markelle Fultz one.
Yeah, right.
And you took Ben Simmons one.
Yeah, I think you traded up, too, to get Fultz.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. So as bad as it is here, there are cities not too far from us that are probably much more unhappy.
Right. What do you think, Edmonton? How about Edmonton sports talk today?
Do you think they have like dedicated sports talk in Edmonton?
Yes, about hockey for sure.
Like, what do you think? It's like a little Canadian football, some Edmonton Eskimos, and then the Oilers?
It's a lot of Oilers, yeah. A
lot of Oilers.
Toronto.
I think they're called the Elks now, Dave.
What?
The Edmonton team football?
They're not the Edmonton Eskimos?
They stopped. It was kind of like a Washington situation. They decided that they're going by the Elks now.
Honestly, Rick, did you know that?
I know. I know a lot, but I did not know that.
I had no idea.
I haven't fully paid attention to the CFL.
They were back in the day. When I was a kid, I used to love the CFL.
I actually used to dabble a little bit in the CFL. Just I think because a lot of the guys on the team were Canadian. And I would hear about it all the time, but no, I haven't paid any attention to that.
Well, the Edmonton Elks.
I actually, I watched? I watched the air hockey championships on ESPN.
It.
I'm not even joking. The air hockey championships.
You'll watch anything.
I dabbled.
You dabbled. Let's get to some of these calls. 1-800-919-3776. Take that, Philadelphia. Take that. Aaron in the car. Good morning, Aaron. You're on 98.7.
What's up, guys? Big shout out to the company. It's all good, baby, baby. First and foremost, I want to just say I am so excited. T-minus 17 days till June 1st. Hotel rooms have been booked. Shirts are being made. We are locked and loaded. Big Stepper Steve is ready to chug beer. It's going to be a great day.
Wow. Look at all the preparation for June 1.
Oh, you know how we do. You know how we do, Dave.
Very well.
We organize. We mobilize. It's going to be an awesome day. I'm excited. But on the Julius Randle of it all with the Knicks, the bad games are bad enough, but when he's having an off night, you can just tell all over his face. He doesn't get back on defense. He becomes lackadaisical. It's bad when, the offense actually looks better when he's not on the court, right? The ball movement's better. The guys are moving without the ball. I think ultimately we're not going to get to where we want to go with him on the team, unfortunately.
I think most people would probably agree with you.
I don't know if Tibbs agrees with you because it sounds like Tibbs is a big Julius Randle fan.
Well, what is he supposed to say though?
Well, no, I don't think it's just what he says. I think it's his actions too. I think Julius is someone he likes a lot and trusts, appreciates his work ethic. The guy shows up every day to play. And for whatever reason, Julius has not really ever fully endeared himself to the fan base.
Why do you think that is though?
I think it started year one. I think the first impression is tough to shake. And then he came out, had a great second season, followed up by disappointing playoffs. And then last season was just bad.
Was awful.
and did not go well with him and the fans. And then this year, great. Everyone was back on board to a degree because we'd still take plenty of phone calls with frustration. And then to have the playoff run that he had culminated by a really bad game six is not what you want.
Not at all. Manny Flushing. Good morning, man.
Now, hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's going on, Manny?
Good, man. Listen, look, I do believe that Knicks are in, like the caller before, the previous caller, I do believe the Knicks are in the right direction. And, look, I don't know what's going to happen to Julius Randle, but let's see how it goes. But I want to give a huge shout-out to just R.J. Barrett. You want to know why? At least he doesn't have an off-the-court issue like his draft counterpart, the number two pick, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, wait, but so you want to give credit to a guy because he acts like a human being and not like a fool?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. I mean, so then the standards are very low.
No, I don't think that's low. I mean, there's a level. RJ has a level of maturity that he.
I think so too. I think RJ handles himself like a mensch, very mature. But I mean, I don't know. Go ahead.
Yes, but the reason I said it is because look, you can criticize RJ Barrett by his game. Look, I have been critical of RJ Barrett for his game, but I like the fact that he's always conducting himself in tight life. He doesn't pout. He doesn't get frustrated as much as Julius Randle is. But, you know, when I see him off the court, he's always professional. He's always well respected. I mean, the John Morant thing, it just disappoints me because, like, you're 23 years old. You got a lot of years left of you, and you're acting like a damn fool. That's all I'm saying.
I totally agree with you. But I mean, do we commend guys because they don't act like fools? Isn't that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be, but it's not always the case. I mean, name the sport; it's not always the case.
But for the most part, guys are able to handle themselves like an adult.
For the most part, but that again, it's not 100%. And I think when you're trying to make yourself feel better about not having the ability to draft John Morant, you would point that out.
Okay, I think that's fair. Alex in Brooklyn. Good morning, Alex. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. I had a question. I heard you guys talking earlier saying that the Yankees, you know, that you think they might make it to the playoffs. But with all these injuries going on, do you think that, like, guys like Rodon and Sevy are going to be able to come back and try and help us make it to the playoffs? I mean, we did good, you know, with these games at home. But I don't know, with the Blue Jays, they might give us a run for our money tonight.
I think they will, but I don't think it means that you can't make the postseason.
Yeah, Sevy's going to be back, and at some point, I mean, I think.
You don't know.
I don't know, but he's got a chronic back. I think that Rodon will be back, but yeah, listen, you play in a really good division. Tampa's good, Baltimore's off to a really good start, and Toronto is good, and they hate you.
Would you say, before he even gets into three stars, that Raymond has earned himself a star today?
I think Raymond should absolutely get a star today.
Yeah, I agree. So even if he doesn't get a star from us, he gets a star. And let's see Raymond's three stars.
Today's three stars.
You know my rule. I don't give myself stars.
Number three.
Except when you're by yourself.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
We got to know you guys round two again today, and I guess the gem of this one is Dave's hidden talent. That's right. He farts with his hands.
No, number
listen,
two.
I have an ability to be able to fart with my hands. I don't think you guys should make fun of that. I was asked, what's my hidden talent? It's a hidden talent.
It's a hidden talent.
Unlike Rick, who can make pasta. We know the guy can cook.
You know what Rick's hidden talent is powering through in unfortunate circumstances.
Did you notice how long it took me to eat that protein bar by any chance?
No. A long time?
Yeah, it did.
Really?
Would you like to know why?
Yeah, why?
It was 3 years old.
So you threw the bar away.
No, I battled through it. I said to myself, this is all I have to eat. And if I don't eat it, I don't know if I'll make it through. So I got to do what's best for the show. And I powered through it.
You're the real warrior here, sir.
Thank you.
Number one.
You know what's not a great thing to say on Mother's Day? Well, you're not my mother.
That's terrible. You earned it, though.
Crack of dawn. Dogs. Who makes eggs? Fluffy, beautiful eggs. Me. We sit outside in an elite setup by... me!
Mother's Day is all about Dave.
Always.
Isn't it, though? It's Rule 76.
No excuses playing a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg. And
me.
98.7 ESPN.
You know what's not a great thing to say on Mother's Day? Well, you're not my mother.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.